Marriage Today presents Every Great Wife by Jimmy Evans.
Now, this session is called Every Great Wife. Now, guys, I wasn't going to let your wife, you know, go without a teaching after all I said to you. So I hope you appreciate it. That's all I'm saying. Women are phenomenal. I tell you, they're awesome. A lot of confusion about women today. And I really hope that this teaching helps a lot of you ladies in the midst of our society, which is very confused and disoriented, to understand who you are. That's what this message is about, who God created you to be and how you can succeed at being a wife. Now, this is Genesis 2, 18, and this is the record of when women were created. According to God's word, the Lord God said, this verse 18, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." By the way, the word comparable means equal but complementary. From the very beginning, God never ever intended that women would be thought of as unequal. "Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, he closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man.'" Now, the Bible begins, when it's talking about Eve, it starts by talking about Adam. Adam was created first. Now, this is a very dramatic thing in the Bible. Sometimes in the Bible, we read things through too quickly. And just because they occur in such a short space, you know, as far as sentences and paragraphs, we don't think them through. Listen, God created Adam, and every animal on the earth was created after Adam and before Eve. That's what the Bible says. God created Adam, and then every animal was created, and they were all brought to Adam, and Adam named them. He looked at them and said, "Well, that looks like whatever, so I'm going to call it whatever." And so he named all the animals. And after all the animals of the earth were created, then it says, "And no one was found that was good for Adam, that was comparable to Adam." Now listen, there's a reason why God did this. Because God didn't want to create Adam and then Eve and then all the animals and for Adam to get mad one day and say, "Why did you create her? I could have done it with a good dog and pony. You know, I didn't have to have her. She's a pain in the neck." That's not the way it happened. God created Adam and every other creature on earth. And when it was all done, no one could suffice. And so God caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam, and Eve was created. Well, let me make some comments here. And first of all, say women are absolutely critical to men and to society. You just simply can't say enough about it. And I know that there really is a wound, I think, in the spirit of women, and rightly so, because women have been put down for centuries. They've had to fight for the right for things that they should have never fought for. The right to vote, the right to be equal, the right to equal pay, and all those kinds of things. They shouldn't have to fight for anything. It ought to be given to them as equals and joint heirs of ours with Christ. The name that is given to women is the same name given to the Holy Spirit. When anyone would even suggest that the Bible puts women down, nothing could be further from the truth. Because the word is helper. That's the word for the Holy Spirit in the Bible, is the word helper. And let me say, I believe that women are called to be like the Holy Spirit. They are like the Holy Spirit. But a great wife is like the Holy Spirit, just as a great husband is like Jesus Christ. And by the way, the word helper is the word azer. In the Hebrew, it means one who supplies what is lacking and the power to accomplish a task. The role of a wife is to be the completer of her husband. Now, I'm going to say some things that are going to make some women mad. Okay, and so, but just give me a chance, if you would. Okay. Don't get mad at me. Go ahead and get mad if you want to, but just give me a chance to get out of it. And I'll try my best. So some women say, what do you mean? You know, I'm there to complete my husband. Well, the Bible says it's not good for men to be alone. Men are incomplete without women. And so it's not wrong for women to be incomplete without men. And let me just say, you can think anything you want to, but we are incomplete without each other. We need each other. And let me say this, Ephesians chapter 5 says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, I want you to listen. Paul in Ephesians 5 is sitting there talking about marriage, and all of a sudden he says, oh, you thought I was talking about marriage. I was talking about Jesus and the church. I just revealed a mystery for you. What's the mystery? A man named Jesus, prophet, priest, and king, was anointed by a helper. He couldn't do his ministry on his own. He had to have a helper to come and complete him and to empower him. And everything he did on this earth was a prophet, priest, and king being aided by a helper. And what God is saying here is, oh, by the way, men, prophet, priest, and king, you're going to have a helper to do what you're doing. And your marriage is an exact parallel of Jesus and his work in the church. That's the mystery. Just as Jesus Christ had to have the Holy Spirit as his helper to anoint him and to complete him. Listen, they were equals. If anyone understands theology, you understand the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are co-equal and co-eternal. The Holy Spirit was not better than Jesus, and Jesus was not better than the Holy Spirit, but they were both absolutely dependent upon the other. Men are not better than women, and women are not better than men, but we've got to have each other. And we can't do what God has called us to do without each other. And I want to say something. This is where, ladies, just help me for just a minute. Just be patient. Women were created to be wives. And I want to prove it to you in Scripture. And you say, well, what about people who are single? They're the bride of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 7, and let me give you the verses so you can read it. Okay. And I'm just saying, basically, get mad at God and cut me some slack. The 1 Corinthians 7, verses 7 and 8, and also verses 32 through 35, here's what the Apostle Paul says. Now, you guys are going to get married, and you need to get married, but some of you are going to be special like me. The Apostle Paul was single, remember? He says, if you're single like me, your call is to be faithful as the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know that every man here that is a Christian is the bride of Jesus Christ? Did you know that if you're single, your number one call in life is as the bride of Jesus Christ? We're all called to have the calling of marriage is our number one call in life, the bride of Christ. But for God, God created women to be wives. Now, let me give you the proof of this. And first of all, women were created out of Adam's rib. And I know that some people don't believe the Bible and they believe in, you know, something else. I'm saying I'm a preacher, so if you don't believe the Bible, you're just in an awful place tonight, because that's all I've got to go from. But I'm saying did you know that every creature on earth was created out of dust except for Eve? She was created out of something much more expensive. That's where you get it, ladies. And God could have created Eve out of the dust, because every other creature was created out of the dust. But he said no. Because if I create her out of the dust, they'll get the idea that they can be separate. I'm going to create her right out of his side, not out of his foot, because he's not going to be over. Not out of his head, because I don't want her over him. Right next to his heart. Because they're going to be in love with each other and they're going to help each other out. You belong to each other. And I know that this is probably the most politically incorrect thing I could possibly say, but I've been practicing for a long time to be politically incorrect, and so let me keep going. The name woman is the first thing that God ever called Eve after her creation, and it's translated over 400 times wife and over 300 times woman. And here's the first thing that God ever said when Eve was created. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. The first thing God ever called Eve was wife. That's because that was her call. 93% of adult Americans want to be married in a stable marriage for the rest of their lives. And more young people than ever want marriage in their future. It's in our DNA. We were created for marriage. And if you're a single person, you're not a subculture, you're a superculture. You're special, just like the Apostle Paul, but you're called to be the bride of Christ. We are all called to marriage, and women are called to be wives. Now, let me say this. And so there was a problem. You remember, once Eve was created and Adam was created, remember the serpent came into the garden. He attacks Eve first. Adam was just as guilty. Adam sinned just as much as Eve did. But listen to the way that Satan tempted Eve. And here's what his temptation was. An identity apart from Adam and God. Here's what he said. You don't need to talk to that man over there. Because she didn't. She never consulted Adam. You don't need God. If you'll eat of that fruit over there, you can be just like God. You can be independent. So she didn't consult her husband. He was apathetic and just as guilty. She didn't consult her husband. She didn't consult God. And she tried to establish an identity independent of God and Adam. And the result was a broken relationship with God, a broken relationship with her husband, and the fall of mankind. Now listen to me, ladies. Today what you're hearing being preached to you by entertainers and celebrities and politicians is that it is demeaning for you to be a wife and you have to have an identity apart from your husband. Well, you do have an identity apart from your husband because in Christ there's neither male nor female and we're all the same. Okay, but I want you to listen to me. Gloria Steinem, Betty Friedan, a lot of the women who started Women's Lib, they had a legitimate anger. They had a legitimate anger. I agree with their hurt. I don't agree with their methods. For many years, women, for centuries, women have been put down. And women have not been given equal rights. And so liberal feminism, the Betty Friedan and these gals that started liberal feminism, they stood up and here's what they said. Women will never be free until marriage is abolished. They declared war on marriage because they saw marriage as being essentially demeaning to women. But research, secular research, University of Chicago, Linda Waite, Maggie Gallagher, The Case for Marriage, they have proven in secular sociology that women are significantly better off in every way of life when they're married rather than being single or cohabiting or any other way. Marriage is good for women. Marriage is good for women. This is a marriage seminar. I should get one amen. I'm just waiting. Okay, thank you. Marriage is good for women. And God never intended for some idiot to abuse you. God told men, you love her as Christ loved the church. You nourish her and you cherish her. And let me just say something. If you've ever, you know, experienced an idiot, it's not God's fault. I'm preaching now. I'm also in a lot of trouble, but I'm trying to block that out. So, marriage is good for women, and women are created for marriage. And I'm saying to you, it is a lie that marriage is bad for you, and it is a lie that you are somehow demeaned by your role as a wife. A lot of liberal feminists are waking up today to realize they may be free, but they're lonely. They're missing something. In fact, a lot of them are waking up to the fact that they were lied to. And they went out into the world and exchanged a career for a call. I'm going to say something to you, ladies, and I want you to listen to me. You're a wife. It's who you are. And don't you ever be ashamed of that. It's who God made you to be. How can you succeed if you're ashamed of what your call is? And women, I agree with the hurt in women. I do. I understand where liberal feminism came from. There were a lot of women who felt demeaned and hurt, and they stood up and they hired Helen Reddy to say, "I am woman, hear me roar." And they just kind of went on a little tirade. You know? Their methods were wrong. Anybody agree with what I'm saying? And I'm glad to see women being treated as more equals today. I think that's a good thing. I just hate that it took so much, you know, nonsense to get it done, because men have been idiots in a lot of ways. But what I'm saying tonight, God called men to be Christ-like men, prophets, priests, and kings, and God called women to be helpers according to the nature of the Holy Spirit to complete their husbands. And that's who you are. And it's really the only thing that you can be in life that God will help you to be. Now I'm saying if you're single, you still have a call to be a wife to Jesus Christ, a special call according to the Bible. And I'm saying if you have a different worldview than that, that's just something that you have. But I'm telling you what the Bible says here tonight. Let me give you the five roles of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the five roles of women in their husbands' lives as helpers. Okay. And I'm going to then talk about the fivefold nature of the Holy Spirit. So my premise is men are prophet, priests, and kings. And we cannot fulfill our role in life without our helpers, just like the Holy Spirit. We are according to the nature of Christ, and women are according to the nature of the Holy Spirit. Number one role of the Holy Spirit and women is companion. John 14, 16, Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever." The word helper there is the word parakletos. It means the para means someone that comes alongside, and kletos means as a helper. Let me say this. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will be with you forever. Did you know if you're a Christian, did you know that there'll never be a point in eternity that the Holy Spirit is not with you? One of the things that we need is we need the presence of God in our lives. And I want to just say this. I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Anybody else ever sense the presence of the Holy Spirit? I mean, He is a very tangible person. He's not a thing. He's a person. He's a very tangible person in our lives. And the helper, one of the definitions means, is someone who is a companion with us. I talked about the needs of men. Honor, number one need of man. Sex, number two. Number three, to have his wife as his buddy. That's the number three most profound need of a man. Now, I was talking to a pastor friend of mine one day. This has been a couple of years ago. And he said, "You know, I've kind of experienced some burnout." And he said, the elders around me have been saying, "You need to get some rest. What is it that energizes you?" And he said, and I just thought about it. You know, what is it that energizes me? And he said, and I thought about it for a long time. He said, "There's one thing that energizes me, being with my wife. That's my number one thing. Of all the things in my life, that's the number one thing that energizes me." Every man I know wants to be with his wife more than anybody else. Now, when you're having marriage problems, obviously, a lot of times there's a division between you. But let me tell you how you fell in love. And this is not rocket science. You had fun together. No one ever falls in love by being apart. And no one ever falls in love by having a bad time. You call each other. You think of fun things to do. You go and do them. And having fun together is how you fell in love. And the way you fall out of love is you're not having fun together anymore. And it might be that children came along and work came along and you just got busy and you just got stressed out. But let me say this. The number one thing that your husband needs from you is for you to be his buddy. Is just to be there for him and to protect the time and energy. And I know that if you've got a lot of things to do, your husband needs to be an equal partner in housework and taking care of the kids. That doesn't all need to be your burden. But when it comes down to deciding what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. Your husband loves you to be his buddy, to be his pal, not to be his mother, not to treat him like a child, and all that kind of stuff, but to be his buddy. Companion is what a helper. Listen, you can't help if you're not there. And so as a helper, you're a companion. Number two role of the Holy Spirit in wives is comforter. This word parakletos, the second definition, Jesus said in John 14, 16, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter. Okay, another comforter means he was one. Another comforter is coming. This comes from the word parakaleo, and it means one who's called alongside to encourage and to advise. To encourage and to advise. Listen, women can comfort men more than any other person or force in life except from God. There is just an ability that women have to, and I know that women can also upset men, but so... But really, sometimes what upsets men is that you're not fulfilling the role he needs you to fulfill. Let me tell you three things that comfort men. Three things that every woman can do. You're built in with this ability. Number one is to praise him and encourage him. And some of that is learning how to say negative things in a positive way. You have the absolute right to say anything you feel because you're his absolute equal, but to praise him and encourage him. Let me say this. Men can't argue like women. Research has proven that when women are tougher than men, and when men's heart rate goes up above 100, they get disoriented and they can't hear any longer. It's the truth. Now, women are tough. Women can, I mean, they can tangle now. But men can't do it. Listen. If your husband is going to stay emotionally connected with you and communicate, you have to keep him calm. And one of the ways that you keep him calm is by staying positive. If you come at him, and I'm telling you, you ladies, you're just tougher than we are in this way, emotionally. If you come at him, because you know you can fight about eight things at one time, and okay, you're okay afterwards. We can't do that. And so the number two thing is affection. Now, I'm gonna include sex in that, and I'm gonna say obviously sex is comforting to a man. But let me talk about affection for just a minute. Men don't have one of a woman's top needs is non-sexual touching and affection. Okay, non-sexual touching and affection. One of the top men's top needs is sex. Men need affection. Now we don't know we need it. We're not built that way. We're just not built in such a way that we gravitate toward people and just hang on to them. You know, it's just, let me say this. Well, there are some like that, but listen. When your husband's upset or when he's hurt, your touch communicates something to him beyond what you understand. Now, Karen's good about this. And she notices when I'm hurting. She notices when I'm troubled and things like that. And Karen will just walk up to me and put her hand on me and start rubbing on my back or just something like that. And sometimes it's only for 15 to 20 seconds. But here's what it communicates to me. She cares about me. She's there for me. She's standing alongside of me in whatever I'm doing. And she's my buddy. Affection comforts men, and sex does also, but I'm saying affection comforts men. Number three is faith. Faith comforts men. It's negativity upsets men, but faith, the Holy Spirit, let me just tell you, I've walked with the Holy Spirit for a long time. He's the most positive person I've ever known in my entire life. He's comforting. He's encouraging. But he has faith, and faith says, honey, it's going to be all right. We're going to make, you're the best man in the whole wide world. God's done it before, and God can do it again, and men just get comforted in that. Let me say, men will always gravitate to where they get comforted, and men will stay away from places where they get upset. And so as his wife, you need to understand the Holy Spirit comforts us. That's what you're supposed to do. And again, yours is equal. I'm not saying you can't say anything you want to say. Number three, the role of the Holy Spirit in women is counselor. John 14, 17 and John 16, 13 call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth and Counselor. Is, you know, now men and women both have, this is my opinion, you know, when the Bible says that God made them in His image, male and female, He created them. Now, this is my personal opinion. I believe it takes a man and a woman to make the image of God. I know we're all made in His image. I'm not saying that we're not, but we're incomplete. I really believe this. Men have half of God's brain. Women have half of God's brain. When we come together, we get God's brain. When men are by themselves, they just don't have all the information. Now, Karen and I don't think the same. We don't reason the same. And the tendency that we have is to reject each other because we don't think the same. I'll say this to women. See, Eve didn't think that she needed Adam's input when she was being tempted. But let me say this. Adam could have given her some objectivity that she needed. Men are not as emotional, but here's what that means. We're not caught up in the emotion that you're caught up in. Sometimes we can give you some objective input that you really need, but we're also sometimes clueless because we're not in touch with what you're in touch with. Here's what I found out over the years about Karen. First of all, when a woman tells you not to trust somebody, it's like, you need to listen to that. Because a lot of times women, they're not objective in what they're saying. They're just, we've got radar, they've got sonar. They're smelling something you're not smelling. And for years, Karen would say to me, I don't think I'd do that. And I'd say, hey, Karen, don't treat me like I'm dumb. You know, done the research and this and this. 100% of the time when she warned me, bad things happened. And of course, you know, then it's like, well, I told you. It's like, I know you told me. But I'm going to say this. If you're a smart man, you'll listen to your wife before you do anything. And whatever she says, it's not as though that everything she says is right. But she's got sonar. She's in touch with something you're not in touch with. And part of it is emotion, but the other part of it is intuition. Women are in touch with something that we're not in touch with, and they give us counsel that is absolutely phenomenal, just like the Holy Spirit does. Spirit of truth. Number four role of the Holy Spirit is convictor. You'll love this one. John 16, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. Men live a lot longer when they have a woman in their lives because they're always convicting you about stuff. You know, you stop eating that. You've been way too much lately. And they'll just sit there and it is nagging, but God love them. It doesn't have to be, but Karen does this 100 times a day. 100 times a day. When we were on our way over here, Karen, she can't help it. It's like, turn here, turn right there, turn right there. Stop. It's like, the Holy Spirit is in the car with me. I can't get away with anything. How do I ever drive anywhere without her? But literally, they're convictors. I mean, it really is their nature. You'll live longer if you listen to them. You might not want to live longer, but you will. I'm in so much trouble. Number five role is connector. The Holy Spirit is the connector. He connects us with God. Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll remind you of me. And the Holy Spirit, by the way, is always connecting us with other people. He's the connector. Men are typically, we're not built emotionally the way women are. So when we come home, what she will do is put you in touch with herself and the kids. She's the relational connector. Women are masters relationally. And she's there to connect you with God. Karen, before you know, I was practicing Christianity, I'd profess Christ, I wasn't practicing. Karen would say, let's go to church. We need to be around other Christians. And Jimmy, Julie this and Brent this, and she would put me in touch with the emotions of our family to connect. Okay, so those are the five roles of women: companion, comforter, counselor, convictor, and connector. Let me say this, ladies, those are the five things you naturally do. But it's something that when you think about it, it is the role that you have. Let me talk about the fivefold nature of the Holy Spirit and great wives. And I'll go through these very quickly now, just in a few minutes. If you're writing these down, number one, gentle. This is the nature of the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 3:4. Rather, let it be in the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, gentle and quiet does not mean mousy and weak, because I know a lot of you ladies hate that. It's like, I don't want to be this mousy, beaten down woman. The Bible never says that. Listen, gentle and quiet is the opposite of rough and loud. What it means is she has faith. If you don't have faith, you have fear. And the reason that you talk to your husband the way that you do and you can't keep your composure is because you're operating by fear and not by faith. Gentleness is not weakness. Gentleness is confidence. I'm going to walk in here. I'm going to say what I have to say. I don't need to raise my voice, because I'll tell you why. Because as soon as I say it, I'm going to go in my prayer closet and I'm going to sit God on you. Yeah, He's going to get you. You're dead meat. You just don't know it. I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let Him tell you. And so when a woman is gentle and quiet, it is precious to God, because she's a woman of faith. So don't ever think when you're being gentle. Let me say this, ladies. You have the right to say anything you want to say, but who's the enforcer? You or the Holy Spirit? And when you try to enforce it, it's just going to hurt Him, and it's just going to make everything worse. Gentleness. Number two, purity. His first name's holy, pure. Never use unrighteous means to try to get a result. Criticism, nagging, threats, punishment, withdrawal, rejection, whatever it might be. Purity. And so whatever I do, I'm going to do the right thing. And in counseling through the years, 95% of all counseling is initiated by women, because women are phenomenal in relationships. But a lot of counseling that I've done over the years is a woman telling me something that she's doing that's wrong in response to her husband. He's doing something wrong, and she justifies it because he's doing something wrong. When you fight fire with fire, you get a bigger fire. This is getting deep, so hang on. The only way you can defeat a spirit is with the opposite spirit. When you fight fire with water, you put the fire out. And so purity, if he's doing something wrong, you do things right, and God will honor. Number three, positive. Joy. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is joy in kindness. Positive, that you stay positive. Faith is the key there. Number four, patient. The Holy Spirit's patient. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is long-suffering and patience and faithfulness. And let me say this again. God, when He saved you, He knew it would take a lifetime to fix you. How many of you are thankful that God doesn't demand we get our act together right now? And one of the things, photographic thinking is how the devil thinks, and prophetic thinking is how God thinks. And photographic thinking will always cause you to do the wrong thing. And here's what photographic thinking is. The devil comes at the worst point in your marriage or your husband's life, takes a picture, puts it in your face and says, this is as good as it's going to get. And if he keeps this up, you're going to go broke. He's going to kill the kids. He's going to do this. He's going to do this. And what the devil does is he takes a photograph and projects it out into the future to make you think your husband's going to ruin everything if you don't do this and this and this. Okay. And what happens is you begin to exert pressure on your husband to do something. The Holy Spirit doesn't do that, because He understands the future. And here's what He understands. Listen, it's going to take a while for your husband to get it right. So just relax. But can I tell you something else? It's going to take a while for you too. And that's why the Holy Spirit is long-suffering. He's patient. And patience means this. I'm committed. And if you don't get your act right now, that's okay. I'm committed to the process. Now, I want you to improve right now. I've got some things that I want you to do right now. But if you're not perfect tomorrow, I'm still committed to you. Patient. I have a prophetic picture in my mind of my husband, and I'm not going to allow fear to motivate me. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to bless my husband, and I'm going to meet his needs, so on and so forth. Number five, is gracious. The Holy Spirit is gracious. Now, listen to me. Grace is different than mercy. There's a difference. Mercy is not giving a person what they deserve. If a person deserves death and you've got the sword lifted and they plead for mercy and you give them mercy, it means I'm not going to kill you. You deserve death, but I'm not going to kill you. That's not what grace means. Grace means I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. The grace of Jesus means we get heaven, but that's not what we deserve. Not only do we not get hell, we get the fullness of God's blessing because by grace you've been saved by faith, not of yourselves. It's the Holy Spirit is gracious. And what it, aren't you glad the Holy Spirit's gracious? Amen. And what it means, you know, when you need God the most, you deserve Him the least. When I need God, I don't deserve Him. I've been sinning. I've been blowing it. You know what I love about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the most gracious person in the universe. He is so precious. I mean, you can do the dumbest stuff. And he's not dumb. And he's not easy in the sense that you can get away with anything with him. But I'm saying this. When you repent, he forgives. And not only that, he treats you a lot better than you deserve. He's a very, very gracious person. I want you to listen to me, ladies. When your husband is not doing the right thing, sometimes it's hard to motivate yourself to meet his needs. And you may say to yourself, well, I'm going to give him mercy. I'm not going to give him what he deserves. He deserves, you know, dinner in his lap for the way that he's been treating me. And so being the incredible woman of God I am, I'm going to give him mercy. I'm not going to give him what he deserves. Well, that's not the way the Holy Spirit is. He gives you what you don't deserve. And when he doesn't deserve it, you walk up and give him a kiss, tell him he's the greatest man in the world. When he doesn't deserve it, you give him sex and don't you cut him off. Because that's what you're threatened to do. When you're not doing what I want you to do, I'm going to back away. I'm going to punish you by withdrawing from you. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's gracious. He gives you what you don't deserve. Let me say this. I've never seen a person who got saved because they experienced a God who was just a God of mercy. The people I see who are saved, including me, are saved because God gave us what we didn't deserve. We love Jesus, not just because He spared us from hell, but because He gave us heaven. A Holy Spirit-filled wife is a wife who gives her husband grace. Doesn't mean that you enable destructive behavior and don't stand up against sin. I'm not saying that. But in your husband's best days, he's still doing things that are wrong. And you're going to have to overlook those things and be gracious. Your role is a companion, a comforter, a counselor, a convictor, and a connector.
This concludes session 2. Please continue with The 7 Traits of Every Great Marriage, Part 1, the next teaching in this series.